الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So when you're on the road coming back from Chicago, it's pretty much a straightaway, right? It's Interstate 55 all the way. And it's pretty monotonous until you start getting close to St. Louis. So, and then it gets a little bit more hilly. So as we were driving back just now, driving basically straight into the masjid, it was a beautiful scene where the sun was setting and it was sitting right between the arch. And it was just something that's sort of just captures you and captures your interest. But we couldn't really hold on to that view because something came and obscured the whole scene from view. And that was a very big hill, right? It was a very big hill. And it just so happens that that very big hill is a landfill, right? And sometimes when you're driving back and forth from Chicago, we would notice that there's small dump trucks that lined up like toy trucks that little children play with, all the way at the top of this very big hill, which is a landfill, right? And so they take everyone's garbage, right, and sort of in choo-choo train style, chug up the hill, and then they go and deposit whatever refuse and waste materials there are from the rest of society, and it's sort of situated way out where no one really knows about it or where anyone could see it. And the only reason that it sort of knew it was there because we were just driving back and happened to see it and it caught our attention. Well, so many people pass by and you never really notice. So that might sound really mundane, but it's really interesting about how we deal with something that we don't really like to talk about, and that's garbage, right? It's something that we create with our own hands day in, day out, day in, day out, but we really don't like to acknowledge that it's there, right? You want to shove it under the rug, so to speak, and want to make sure that it's away from even our sight, right? Even from our sight. So the idea is that if there's some garbage lying at home, if it's on the floor, we like to pick it up. We don't like it to see it lying down, especially if guests are coming or if someone's going to come over. We want to make sure that there's no garbage around. But even if no one is around, right, if the garbage can is there, we want to make sure the lid is closed, right, out of sight. Right? If there's a stench coming on, the wife will be telling you, you need to take out the garbage, right? Like, no, I can't get in the kitchen because they feel very uncomfortable. The stench is killing them. So garbage is something that no one likes, right? And no one likes it to the degree that, once you have the garbage, it's not enough that you just want to keep it in your house. You're just waiting for Wednesday or whatever to come along so you can take all the garbage and just put it in that dump truck and it goes somewhere to some faraway land so that you don't even have to think about it, right? And then where do we do it? It goes all the way in that landfill. It's not okay that they would just dump it, right, so that it's in view because it's so unsightly, right? It's so unsightly. That they want it to be shielded from view. And it's so, and the stench is so great, right, that they want to be shielded from our senses. So they dig, they make a huge hill and they bury it inside the ground so that we have no interaction, no remembrance of the garbage that we created with our own hands. You know? Something that is a byproduct of our own endeavors, right, of our own actions. We don't want to deal with the aftermath. In many ways, that is the story of mankind. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. That there is fasad, there is corruption in the earth, right? And it has become apparent. Look at the wording of the Quran, Allahu Akbar Kabira. That, you know, everyone wants garbage or corruption or filth to be batin, right? Something which is not perceived. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is something becomes perceptible. Right? Zahara means something to become manifest. Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahr. Right? It doesn't matter if you're sailing in the seas or you're sitting on land or you're flying in the sky. This corruption or the filth of corruption becomes manifest. Bima kasabat aydin nas, what you have wrought with your own hands. In the same way that garbage accumulates in our homes because of what we do, corruption actually accumulates in the earth because of what we do. Now it's funny that the same type of distaste that we have for garbage, we don't have for corruption. Right? We don't have for corruption. When the lesson is really that, the same way that we abhor garbage in our homes, that we abhor garbage in our society, that we abhor filth, right? Anywhere that we could, in any place or in any time that we could seemingly interact with that filth, right? We just want it to be far away from us. Far away from us. That should be our attitude towards sin and corruption in our lives. You just don't want anything to do with it. Right? It should become something which is natural. Right? That most people are at a level where they are struggling. Right? Struggling to stay away from filth, from corruption, from sin. These things are struggles for them. But it actually should eventually, that struggle, right, should dissipate, and it becomes to a point where it becomes something which is natural. It's naturally abhorrent. And when we talk about fitrati salima, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right, when he said istafti qalbak, you want to take a fatwa, take it from your heart, the shart or the condition over there is that a person should have a sound nature. Right? A sound nature. And a person may say, well, how do you know if you have a sound nature? A sound nature is something that naturally finds evil abhorrent. Finds those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like, the natural nature also will not like those things. Right? That's just something which is almost instinctual. And the other example, right, which is very close to home, and again, people just don't, it's so abhorrent that people don't even like to talk about it, is using the bathroom. Right? You flush the toilet and it goes away, and then you don't want to even know where it goes, right? Just let it go somewhere, but I don't want to deal with it. Right? I don't want to deal with it. You know, sometimes the stench, right? People have Glade and this, and they have like so many different things because they don't want to smell, they won't have any interaction with it. It's a byproduct of what, it's you. Right? It is you, it's inside you. It came out from you. It came from what you have done, right? But now you don't want anything to do with it. Right? Just take it away. Just take it away. You know, sometimes the prophetic du'as are very telling. Right? Prophetic du'as are very telling. And so, what is the du'a for entering into the restroom? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. There's different translations, but one of the translations is that I seek refuge from Allah from the diseases or from the impurities which lie within and that which lies without, right? That external and internal impurities. The reason that people hate external impurities so much is something that is immediate, right? Something that you can sense, something that you can know, something that you can recognize without any type of difficulty. But there's in the same way that there is filth that lies within the individual, which is carried within the intestines, in the same way people carry filth within their hearts. Right? The only problem is that since people aren't looking, right? Since people aren't looking, they don't realize that it's there. You need to have spiritual senses to recognize spiritual filth. Right? And people don't develop that sense, and so that filth has been sitting and lying within the heart for years, and no one's ever pushed the flush button. Right? And it's piling filth upon filth upon filth upon filth upon filth. Now imagine, you know, in this life, a person might never even realize that it was there. But on the day of Qiyamah, right, when that becomes apparent and the stench of that starts to spread, then how people will wish that they had flushed frequently. Right? Flush the heart. Right? Flush the soul. People just don't care about it. And you know, it's like that's the du'a. So the first thing is when you're entering into the bathroom, you are becoming acutely cognizant that there is filth that lies within. There's no doubt about it. Right? The question is not whether or not it's there or not, it's whether or not you recognize it or not. And the fact that people forget, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you at the same time that there's something that everyone's gonna have to do, right? No one doesn't go to the bathroom. Everyone sort of has to go, right? And so with the same type of urgency that you have to go to a bathroom and realize that there's filth there, a person should at the simultaneously realize that there's filth inside that I need to do something about. And you're reminded more than once a day, for most people. More than once a day. It's not something just to... I mean, these du'as weren't just a random, right? This was... When you talk about the prophetic du'as, that was the psychology of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? If you want... And that's how he was interacting with his reality in a very real way and teaching us to interact with our reality. Even when you're coming out, what do you say? Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anna al-adha wa afani. That praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has adhaba anil adha, that has taken out from us or removed from us adha. Adha in the Arabic language, as it comes in the Quran, yas'alunaka anil mahith qul huwa adha. They ask you about the menstrual cycle, say it is a harm. So similarly, over here, adha is harm. Now, most of the people who are listening are very young and they don't have health problems. But if you're in the healthcare field, right, and you talk to someone who has ileus, right, or who has a small bowel obstruction, right, it's a magical emergency, perhaps even a surgical emergency, right, the pain is unbearable, right, talk to someone who has hypertrophy to the extent they can no longer empty their bladder, right, when the bladder becomes distended, ask them what type of pain that they're in, right, excruciating pain. Right? Excruciating. People will say 10 out of 10, take me to surgery, do something, take it out. I mean, because when the filth starts backing up, right, there is a physical perceptible pain. In the same way, when spiritual filth starts backing up, right, every person should also feel pain. Right? It should be painful. Painful to the point where a person will start crying. Right? The surgical patient who's sitting in the ICU with a small bowel obstruction, he might be crying. But why don't people cry when the filth blacks up? Some people, they do, right? But when a person's senses become deadened, right? You know, like there's a certain people who get a myocardial infarction, certain people who get heart attacks, and they never know it. They call it silent heart attacks. And one of the type of people who get these silent heart attacks are the people with diabetes. You're like, why would a person with diabetes have a silent heart attack? But the idea is that people who have had diabetes for 10 years and some, they get what they call these complications, and part of those are neuropathic. So they start losing sensation in their nerves. And when they lose sensation in their nerves, including that of the heart, they don't feel the heart attack when it occurs. What happens is that people who indulge themselves to the point where they become diabetic in the deen, right, indulging in sin, then you get deadened senses. So even when filth hits you, you neither smell it, you neither feel it. It's just like you could be drowning. I mean, you know, it should be something which is, you know, really strikes an individual. I mean, one of the striking like images in my mind is like when we were on the Hajj trip, right, just recently. That on the way we had to stop at one of these, you know, desert mosques, right? And there was this place where they actually had they had some intizam for wudu, and they had also some restrooms there. And the restrooms backed up, right? And then basically it had just flooded, and it was like feces everywhere. Right? I remember opening one stall and just closing and saying that, whoa, right? And there's some of the sisters couldn't even enter into the place where they made wudu because the stench was so overwhelming. The reason I would share something like that is that there's two things that a person should feel as their approach to sin, right? And if they don't feeling that, right, then know that something is fundamentally wrong. Number one is that they should want nothing to do with it. It should be abhorrent. It should turn them off. Right, the same way that scene where, you know, some of people, like, I just narrate the scenario and people's faces become contorted, right? Because like, whoa, right? In the same way, our faces should become contorted when we actually engage or even hear about any sin, right? Hear about any sin. That should be our natural response, not something that's effectuated. And the second thing is that when some type of filth starts to accumulate in our life, then we should feel the pain. Right? Like anil adha wa afani, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove it because now we're physically being hurt by it. Right? Physically being hurt by it. I'll give you some practical examples. When a person right? Like when you're when a person is maybe driving by a well, a practical example is this holiday party, right? They have these holiday parties. So the, right here at Barnes Jewish Hospital, they had some private party where some very rich people probably rented out the Center for Advanced Medicine, right? And they had their own in the lobby. Right, they had set up their own bar, and they had, you know, different buffets, and then, you know, the music was pumping. I know I was getting out of late work, right? I worked late, so I was walking through the lobby, right? So I saw that going on over there, and then, you know, you can hear the people milling in the back, right? And you know, you hear women's laughter of women in the distance and stuff. I walked out, but then when someone passes by something, right? What does your heart feel? Right? Does it feel like, man, I can't go and have a good time with them and wear my nice clothes and, you know, rub shoulders with the rich, right? Or is it, man, I'm going to hold my nose and get out of here as quick as possible because I can smell the stench from here, right? The stench of haram, the stench of ma'asiyah, the stench of khati'ah, the stench of ithm. Right? I don't want anything to do with it, right? Is our approach to that, or like, you know, someone comes and, you know, asks you out, right? And you're like, are you like on cloud nine that, oh, someone, wow, subhanAllah, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves me now, right? Because someone asked me out? Or is it like, man, subhanAllah, I'm really in trouble, like the gutter, like the sewer just opened up in front of me, I need to start like running away in the opposite direction. That should be our approach when, you know, when people are going out to the movies, right? If people are going to movies, like, come on, we'll have a good time. Like, dude, why are you going to take me to the bathroom, right? I'd rather stay in like the pristine gardens of the masjid, right? Because those are the gutters where sin is being committed. Those are gutters, right? And where the worship of Allah, where the dhikr of Allah, where connection to Allah is occurring, those are gardens, right? So you choose, right? You choose in your life. So just basically a simple message, right, for this week. A simple message is that what person should work upon themselves. They shouldn't be satisfied that they're struggling against sin, but you should struggle to the point where it becomes abhorrent, right? And it becomes painful to engage in sin and corruption. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create all of our internal states to become such and give us a natural distaste for anything that is distasteful to Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.